Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship service at the Vines this morning, to those of you who are here in the building and to those of you who are watching online. Psalm 13, David, the great king, I don't know whether he wrote this before he became king or not, or afterwards, but he pours out, as he often does in the psalms that are recorded as being written by him, his angst and anguish to God. And he says in verse 1, "How long, Lord, will you forget me forever?" Whew. And so on through the psalm, wrestling with his thoughts and so on. But it's only got 6 verses, and the last 2 verses say this: "But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for the Lord has been good to me." And reading it to pluralize it, "But we trust in your unfailing love. Our hearts rejoice in your salvation. We will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to us." Can you say amen or amen to that? Amen. He has been good to us. Let's stand and sing.
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb praise and glory, wisdom and thanks, honor and power and strength be to our God.
Father God, we praise you and thank you for the gift of salvation. We praise you and thank you for the gift of love, the gift of light, the gift of hope, and all that is ours in and through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And we commit, Lord, our morning to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Saved a
Okay, kids, if you want to come down the front, we've got some stuff to do today. So, kids down the front, kids down the front, kids down the front. Hey, look, I wasn't here last week because I went down to Victor Harbour for the long weekend, and it seemed like everybody else was down to Victor Harbour as well. It was pretty busy, but it was a lovely time. It was a celebration of our little Ben's life and all that sort of stuff. And that boy can cry and eat and cry and eat. It's amazing. Anyway, I distract myself. Hey, while I was down there, I had a bit of free time. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to jump online. I'm going to do a course. No, I didn't go in the big water pools. I jumped online and educated myself. And you know what I became over that weekend? I became a doctor. Dr. Dave. And they even gave me a certificate. Look. Doctor awarded to David J. Pryor from the University of Dodge. I think that must be USA, surely. No, it's got a signature there. But it's just very... Look, just, you're being too critical. Anyway, they even sent me across some special doctor... You know how stethoscopes? Doctors have stethoscopes. No, it's not. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. And look, anyway, I learned lots of wonderful things. It only took me about half an hour. So I thought I'd get you guys. I'm going to do some medical examination. They're safe. I've had it cleared. My insurance, United Church Insurance Company, covers it. Okay. Who would like to sit on the chair because I'm going to do some tests? All right, I'll have to do all three of you, one at a time. Okay, first. All right, sit down. Now, this is not going to hurt. Okay, well, that's a bit of a worry. Put your arms up and go like this. And stick your tongue out at the same time. And wiggle your legs. Right, yeah, sit down, please. I've got some concerns. Okay, you jump up here too. Quick. Sit. That hurts. Oh, I shouldn't do that. Okay, arms up like this. Wiggle your tongue. Wiggle your ears. Yeah, come. Sit down here. Would you like to come and have a try? Come on, let's go quick. It's too hard. Okay. All right, let me try this one. Okay, arms. Wiggle your ears. Wiggle your nose. Stick out your tongue. Okay, look, I'm going to have to make my diagnosis. I think you're suffering from a deficiency of the good news. You know how some people have iron deficiencies and they, you know, well, you've had COVID vaccines. Have you had a vaccine for COVID? Well, I think you need a vaccine for the good news. Yes, I think you do. I've got it in. No, it doesn't hurt. How can the good news hurt? Does the good news hurt people? No. Well, maybe sometime. All right. This is not going how I planned. Okay. Well, so what? So what I'm going to do is, okay. All you guys, put your hands on that. One, two, all three together. Okay, all together. That's it. Right. So what we're going to do a bit of a recharge of the good news. All right. And the good news is God's love. All right. Are you ready? Dear Lord Jesus, we pray for extra good news. In Jesus' name, amen. How's that feel? Well, yeah, I think you'll find it'll grow. So sometimes it's a bit like what you're going to do in a moment is go to Sunday school and you're going to get some more doses of good news and it's going to top you up. I know you still can't wiggle your ears and your nose. That's something you're going to have to work on. What? Okay, look, I think I've done enough today to get you guys fired up for Sunday school. Thank you. Okay, guys, good to see you. Come on, good job. Thank you for joining me and suffering through another of Dave's, Dr. Dave's. So you're going to have to look at me differently now, people, not only. So, the University of Dodge. I'm sure that's a legitimate organisation. Hey, yeah, look, we've got some notices as well. Don't forget, afterwards we are doing having the AGM, so there'll be a 15-minute break between the service and the AGM. AGM will be reports, and we'll give you a quick update about the manse process and all that sort of stuff as well. I think that's all for me, David. I think I've worn myself out.
I guess that from here on in we'll have to refer to David as the Reverend Father Dr. Brother Prior. Will that do? We are going to bring our offerings to God and reflect on not just our physical offerings of our financial resources, but also our lives. And I've picked a song for us to sing that I don't recall having sung here at the Vines before, and I haven't sung it before myself at all, so we had to learn it. But some of you will probably know the song. David certainly does, so David, you're going to lead the singing. It's a declaration to one another as the community of Christ.
Community of Christ, who made the cross your own, live out your creed and risk your life for God alone. The God who wears your face, to whom all worlds belong,
just sung echo through our lives as a community here at the Vines, and as we seek to offer ourselves to serve you, to serve one another, to serve our community. And again, Lord, we bring you our offerings that Jackie is holding, the offerings that have been given online, and pray, Lord, that you would guide us with great wisdom as to how best to serve you, to serve our community, to serve one another. And we give you all praise and thanks, Abba Father, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. Whenever I am to lead intercessory prayers, I find myself asking, where do I start? How do I pray? Our world seems to be in such a mess. But it is also beautiful the sunrise and the sounds of the birds greeting the day, sunsets with many colours filling the sky, the ever-changing vista of the sea and the calming peace of a country walk. It's all there, firmly held in the Creator's hands. But it is also such a sad place, as we are daily confronted by scenes of violence and heartache, disrespect and cruelty, greed, self-interest, and power struggles. How much the heart of the Creator must weep at what his children do to each other. Talking with David earlier in the week, he spoke about this song we have just sung. And as I heard the words, I felt we probably don't really need intercessory prayers after that song, because that is exactly what that song is. However, I decided to thread the thoughts of this song through my prayer, because God has chosen to use us, the community of Christ, his imperfect children, to bring about his plan for his world. We here are just a very small part of it. But I remember two Sunday school choruses from way back: "Brighten the corner where you are," and "It only takes a spark to get a fire going." So it all begins with us. Let's pray. Great and glorious God, giver of life, sustainer and redeemer, we come humbly before you this morning as we reflect upon our world and recognise how much it is not what you would have it be. It is broken. So many lost, disenfranchised people and dreadful situations of wars, violence and arrogance which make the way forward so difficult. From distant places to the neighbours in our street, so much disrespect, selfishness and retribution. It is not how it is meant to be. Empower us, gracious Lord, we pray, to be harbingers of change, agents of grace, right where you have placed us. Community of Christ, through whom the word must sound, cry out for justice and for peace the whole world round. Disarm the powers that war and all that can destroy. Turn bombs to bread and tears of anguish into joy. Our hearts ache, Lord, as we view images of terrible natural disasters, floods, fires, earthquakes, landslides, people's lives devastated. Thank you for the courageous men and women who are willing to risk their own lives to help, heal and restore. We pray for their safety. Lord God, we are daily confronted with statistics which speak of hardship and lack of compassion in our own community. So many struggling to make ends meet. So many without a roof over their heads. So many needing to ask for help to simply survive, while others grow rich and turn their backs and walk by. Community of Christ, look past the church door and see the refugee, the hungry, the poor. Take hands with the oppressed, the jobless in your street. Take towel and water that you wash your neighbour's feet. We pray for all those who are in positions of leadership, both in our country and across the world. We would pray that they might lead with integrity and consider the needs of their constituents over and above power, prestige and control. What the world so needs, Lord, now, is love, your kind of sacrificial love. In the midst of the big picture, life goes on. And so we especially pray at this time for those whom we know are going through their own personal challenges and dark times, physical and emotional. Those who have to stand by and watch loved ones in difficult situations and feel helpless. It is so hard to see our loved ones suffering and know we cannot make it better, dear Lord. So gracious God, we take a moment in silence to name before you those who are in special need at this time. For all these, Lord, we ask your gentle blessing. Restore hope and give them a renewed sense of your presence as they continue to move through their challenges. And Lord God, we would pray now for our AGM later this morning. May we be true reflections of your grace and love as we acknowledge a year's witness in this place and consider what is before us. May our interactions be respectful and gracious, I pray. At the end of each day, help us to reflect on those special moments when we have known your touch, the beautiful sunrise full of hope, the unexpected word of appreciation or encouragement, that random act of kindness. Please, God, remind us that there is a light in this world and the darkness can never extinguish it. May we, in your grace, be bearers of that light and hope in these troubling times. There seems to be so many issues to pray about, Lord, but we take comfort in the knowledge that you know our needs and concerns before we even speak them, and are ever ready to meet us at our point of need. Friend of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come, change our love from a spark to a flame. Community of Christ, who make the cross your own, live out the creed and risk your life for God alone, the God who wears your face, to whom all worlds belong, whose children are of every race and song. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our reading today is from John chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the opportunity to gather again today, and we ask that your Spirit would continue to enliven us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, let me have a look. There we go. They've given me the control of the remote, so fasten your seatbelts, people. So, we're week four of our Lenten studies, and so far we've looked at dispensers of judgment or grace in week one. Week two was love one another with listening ears of love. Week three was last week with Ian and the living water. He gave us lots of different examples of living water, and the kids really got in there, and I would have loved to ask, how do you spell dehydration? That was pretty sensational. But so today we're really looking at reclaiming the good news. Now, Yancey writes really well, and it's a book that's very appropriate for our age. As many people in the world, Yancey calls them post-Christian, struggle to connect him with the meaning of God, Jesus, and the church. So, it's something we, coming out of COVID, know full well, don't we? So, Yancey has a particular quote. Sheer adrenaline may prod a person to a point of spiritual Christness, but I wonder about the long-term effects of an appeal based on guilt, shame, and fear. Over time, these techniques may produce a counter-reaction. So basically what Yancey's saying is there, his experience, particularly in America, has been with lots of people just smashing anybody who's not a Christian and trying to generate fear, shame, and guilt. And if you ever wonder what that looks like, you jump on TV and watch one of the American preachers, you know, it's just, yeah. So really what he's saying is, okay, you can get a reaction by making someone feel bad and shameful that they're not doing this or not doing that. But how long does that last for? I mean, how long do people actually maintain that connection based on those emotions? And I remember when I was in my early 20s, I'd just become a Christian, and I went down to attend a wedding. So obviously it was a mutual friend of some connection, and the Uniting Church minister got up and for his sermon, he started preaching from Revelations, the woman in the red dress and the dragon. And I was just grateful the bride wasn't wearing red. but he spent probably 20 minutes preaching and then said, if you want to hear the rest of it, come along tomorrow night. And I was thinking, wow, if I was a non-Christian, I would have thought, these guys are a bunch of Fruit Loops. What a cult. And look, no doubt you've all heard appalling sermons. And hopefully, I don't rate too highly in your top 10 of appalling services. But if I do, my apologies. But, you know, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? Yancey's talking about guilt, fear, and shame. And how does that allow the seed of the good news to grow? It's a bit reminded me of the story of the sower that Jesus sent, spoke about, Matthew 13. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell among the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow, it soon died. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 50, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. I was thinking about that, if guilt, fear, and shame is the soil in which the good news seed lands, you really would have to say that's not very fertile soil. Do you think? I mean, how many times have you won an argument on shaming, making someone fearful or guilty? And if you have won the argument, how long has actually that resolved the problem? Anybody got an idea? Anybody? It doesn't happen, does it? And I'm thinking that if we apply that to ourselves, you know, when I am feeling fearful, ashamed and guilty, what is it saying about my connection and faith with God? Am I in need of a boost, a reconnection, a sudden re-enthusiasm of grace? Is that why I'm feeling fearful, afraid or ashamed? Maybe like doing a blood test. It'd be interesting to do a faith test, wouldn't it? Yeah, hopefully it's not as painful as the kids were anticipating. Yeah, you do your lipids, you take some blood, they do a LDHD, they do your iron, and you can figure out if you're deficient in anything. Wouldn't it be interesting if we could come along and do a bit of a scan and say, well, actually, David, you're a little deficient in prayer this week. Or, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? Maybe you need a bit more grace in your life, David, because there's some things that are happening that you are not adapting or connecting with. I like this quote. Somehow we need to reclaim the good newsness. And that doesn't actually, it's not really a word, but it sounds good. Good newsness of the gospel. And the best place to start is to rediscover the good news ourselves. I like that. It's really powerful. And I think that reminds us that actually that rediscovering and reclaiming for ourselves is something that's really vital. During this week at Craft and a few other places, there's been lots of different conversations that have come up about memories and how people would say, well, yeah, I was talking to someone who I haven't seen for 20 years and together we reconnected all these different names and stories that by himself or herself they were unable to do. So it's funny how memories aren't crystal clear throughout entire life. There's lots of things we forget, don't remember until we're reminded by maybe somebody else. So for example, let me do a bit of a memory test today. What was your first job? Turn to the person next to you. What was the first job? What's the most memorable you think of the first job? What is it? Turn to the next, someone next to you. What was your first job? What did you do? What didn't you do? And if you're a housewife, mate, that still counts. Okay, would anybody like to share what their first job was, just out of curiosity?
I was a page boy.
Page boy? Okay, nice. Other people? Heather?
Coffee shop?
Nice. Yes?
I was selling ice cream
from
Mr.
Wicky
Dad at
Nice. Ali? Short order cook at McDonald's? Yeah, okay. Yeah. John.
Milk delivery in the snow.
Yes. So, yes.
A comptometrist
for the housing. Try spelling that one. Well, I think we've got someone sharing next week about the Look, so it's interesting, isn't it? We've got all this history that, you know, often we don't talk about, and these experiences we have that we forget. And I don't know what it is, but sometimes we forget the things we've learned. And sometimes I'm relearning things, and I think, gee, I knew that already. How did I forget that? And sometimes that's the same with our faith, isn't it? It's like we read the scripture, and we think, gee, I learned something from this 30 years ago. How is it I'm learning something again? How is it I forget this stuff? And so again, it's like interesting. What is good about the good news? And one of my first Bible verses I ever learned was this one. It is no longer Christ
I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. That wasn't the translation I liked. It's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Thank God I'm a doctor. I'll be able to go home and analyze myself later. So, interesting thing about this reading is I find it's a very profound reading because it's really saying that one of the powers of grace and life and faith is that Christ is within us. And it's something that wherever we go, whatever we do, good, bad, ugly, Christ is with us, within us, transforming us, renewing us, shaping us. And I think for me, the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, are all these aspects of what Christ's doing in my life. And in the Lenten study, I was talking about how computers have a reset button. So a saved memory point. So if there's something that goes wrong with you get a virus on your computer, you can actually bring it back to a point where you've saved and the computer springs back to life. So for example, if you're in your 70s and you have a save point in your 50s, you could go back and suddenly spring back to life in your 50s. I'm just ad-libbing. I think I'll just stick to my script. But the idea of a saved point is that in your computer, you know, so a virus happens and destroys what you have on your computer, but you can go point and then reboot. And there's a sense in which it's a great idea. And I guess as Christians, it would be nice for us to go back to those points in our history where grace or God's love was real and powerful and present. Because often in life, we forget that, don't we? It sort of tapers off. I mean, one of the problems with PTSD is not that you have a bad experience once. The problem with PTSD is that you relive that bad experience constantly to the same intensity. Often in our journey of faith, we have this great pivotal mountaintop experience. But then as the years go by, it drops off. And I sometimes think, wouldn't it be great to be able to go back to that point to remind ourselves of the things that faith brought us in the depth of those despair? In the Lenten study, I asked the question of, can you think of a grace event? You know, one of those times you had an experience of God that was really powerful and transforming. Can you think of an experience? One experience when you had an answer to prayer, or you were an answer to prayer for someone, or some experience. What was it? What was it? And does that memory still have power for you? So, for example, my nephew, Ellie's brother's son, granddaughter's son, yeah, whatever. Somewhere down there, a young fella has gone across to Kapuka and joined the army full time. And as we were coming back from Victor Harbour, we were talking about this in the car, and Isabel went to Kapuka when I was over there in 2018 as a reservist. She had 5 weeks. Leroy's got 3 months. And I said to Ellie said to Izzy, well, was it a good experience going to Kapuka? And Izzy said, yes. Having been there and watched her, I said, well, what did you learn from going to Kapuka? And she said, Dad, we've already been over this ground. What I should have said was, are there any lasting impacts from that experience today? Those learnings, are they still powerful and relevant for you today? Because we go through all this stuff in life, and we learn stuff in life, but it's like we forget it. And so when something difficult comes along, it's like we have to relearn all the stuff we've forgotten. Why is that? It's almost like we need a grace reboost, or a grace, you know, like a good news, I was going to say implant, maybe that's what it is. There's just that sense in which we need another connection. So
One of the different things that we continue to pick out. Eugene Peterson, who wrote the Message Bible, who translated the Message Bible, Eugene Peterson points out that the root meaning in Hebrew of salvation is to be broad, to become spacious, to enlarge. It carries a sense of deliverance from an existence that has become compressed, confined, and cramped. God wants to set us free to make it possible for us to live open and loving our lives with God and our neighbours. That is seriously a beautiful quote as well. The reason Christ came into the world, died on the cross, was not that we should feel shamed, fearful, and guilty. The reason Christ came into the world so that we may be free, rather than compressed, confined, or cramped. So that today we are remembering those grace points in our life. And maybe we need to refill ourselves again with some of that grace. And grace is undeserved favor. Grace is, you are a child of God regardless what you do with that. You are loved and accepted. You are worthy. You are enough. So if you are finding yourself afraid, guilty, and ashamed, maybe there's some time you need to spend on your knees to refill yourself with this hope of Christ. And a final concluding point, there was a survey that was done, and they asked about the most three important things in life. And it was in America, the particular evangelist, Mark Rutland, recalls a survey, and he was asked what words they most like to hear. He predicted the first choice, I love you. The number two was, I forgive you. And the third choice was, dinner's ready. To be loved, forgiven, and have a hot meal. What a great aspiration for our lives. And Yancey says that what it really dawned on him was that we're loved by God, forgiven by God, and invited to the banquet table. Actually, it'll be a beautiful message for communion. Really, isn't it? Loved, forgiven, invited to the table. So, not sure what you're going to make of this sermon. Hopefully it doesn't get in your top 10 of worst sermons ever. But what is one thing you're going to take away from the service so far today? What is one point you're going to connect with? I'll give you 20 seconds, maybe 30 seconds, we've got a bit more time. Let me share a prayer. And as someone said, for those who are watching online or Pajama Church, we hope you things are going well for you too. Lord Jesus, we continue to open our lives to you and really please fill us again with your Spirit today. And we just really want to have this as a safe point in our lives where we can reconnect once again with your love in a way that makes a difference to whatever we're facing in life. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thanks, Dave.
I don't normally use prayers before we sing a final song. And though we prayed at the beginning of the service, I would like to finish with this prayer before we do sing our final song. Lord God, Abba, Lord Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for the wonder of the good news. Thank you for the depths of your love for each and all of us. Thank you for your grace. May your life and your love and your grace flow through us today, this morning, and throughout every day. Please awaken in us a greater sense and awareness of who we are in you and you in us. Please awaken us to your grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, joy, peace, and the hope that is ours in and through our Lord and Saviour Jesus, the Christ, who lives and reigns with you, Abba, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and always. Amen. Let's stand and sing.
Your eye is on the sparrow, and your hand it comforts me. From the ends of the earth to the depths of my heart, let your mercy and strength be seen. You call me to your purpose as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw all men as your love and grace demand. And I will run to you, to your words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace.
You call
your purpose as angels understand. For your glory, may you draw all men as your love and grace demand. And I will run to you, to your word, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace. Run to your words of truth, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. Yes, I will run the race till I see your face. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory. Oh, let me live in the glory of your grace.
So a reminder that we'll have a 15-minute break and then we'll call you back in. And I was mentioning that we've had some discussions, and Leon will actually be chairing the meeting. In the end, it was resolved. There was no conflict, so that's a relief. That solves me having a ring round this week and get one of you up here. So it's good. Okay, 15-minute break. Let me send you on your way for those who are going and for those who are remaining. Lord God, we ask that your peace that goes beyond all understanding will continue to fill us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.